Episode 140. Welcome to the Unschlagbar Ehrlich Podcast. Gary Stark Jr. and Gary Stark Senior.
Senior.
Hi. Yes.
Hello.
So nice meeting you two.
You too.
Nice meeting you also.
Yeah, it's crazy. Actually, you should do the intro because we are in your studio, Gary Stark Jr.
No. This is your thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got 100-something episodes. I only got 9.
So crazy. Yeah, but you are doing podcasts. How did you get into podcasts?
I started a long, long time ago with a couple of friends, and everyone told me to do it. And I was like, nah, I don't need to. And next thing you know it, I was like, why not do it now? You know, and with my father as my co-host and him being one of the best boxing trainers in boxing. So I said, you know what? Me and him always arguing, always fooling around. So I said, why not do it now? And everyone told me how good that we're together and we play off each other well. He's my best friend. So, you know, why not now?
And we know a lot of people too. So, yeah. You know, it makes it fun because a lot of the people that we know, they have some great stories, you know, so it gets to be fun, you know.
Yeah, that's why I love podcasts, because you can just talk and you don't have to cut anything out. You can just talk to athletes and they tell you so much stuff. And you too, you're like comedy poor. I was sitting there looking at your interview the 1 hour before. Damn, you were talking to Frank Rodriguez, former active MLB player.
Yeah.
How was it interviewing him? He was really, really great.
Baseball has been always my dream. I always wanted to become a baseball player. And me and him played baseball since I was 5 years old, yeah. You know. So to interview one of my friends, and he made to Major League Baseball with a lot of great baseball players, it was just a thrill, like how I know him and how, like, we're always a fan of him, but more or less as a friend,
yeah.
You know, and just hear these stories is great. And me and him, we just love baseball so much. You know?
Yeah, and your dad, you actually wanted him to play baseball, right?
Professional. I did everything I could to make him a baseball player.
Sucked.
But like size and I guess, you know, his arms and, you know, he needed a strong arm. He had to be big and, you know, I didn't bless him with that.
But you know what? When I used to get nervous a lot. Yeah. You know why? I think I used to get nervous a lot because I loved it so much. And I always wanted to make him proud and stuff like that. So I used to put a lot of pressure on myself. So I used to get super, super nervous. Boxing just came natural.
Yeah, you know, but it's funny because in boxing, he never got nervous. I think I was the nervous one in boxing. He had fun,
yeah.
And baseball was the opposite. Like he was the nervous one.
I think more or less because I love baseball more than boxing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. In boxing, I was just good at it.
Yeah,
and I had what my father has is like that toughness that he instilled in me. You know, just you know. So
from the very beginning,
yeah. Sparring and like, yo, don't let this. You know, so I put that into my work ethic and training hard, and I got all that from him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But the thing is, like, when you love something, and you enjoy doing it, you know, because there's probably things that you go through life that you don't enjoy, that you just have to do it.
Mm.
But boxing, like, he loved it. Like, in the beginning, I guess I was hard on him. So he kind of shied away.
You said in the podcast before, like, and you were saying, like, he was abusive.
I look at the, because we have the VHSs, you know, and when I used to film some of the stuff, and I'd look at myself yelling at him, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know, but I wanted him to be perfect. I wanted to, because boxing's a rough sport, you know, so I wanted him really to make it as a pro.
I appreciate it now. Yeah. I really appreciate it now, because I understood, because when you could lose your life in boxing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And one thing about me, and he could tell you, I got a gladiator on my back, like a big tattoo guy, because I really felt like when I would fight, I would fight to the death. Like, I fought with one eye. I don't care. You know? Like, I'm going to give it everything I have to win this fight. And that made me different. Listen, I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the strongest. But everyone in boxing that knew me, or especially in New York, knew I had the biggest heart. I wasn't quitting. I wasn't, you know. So I get that laugh from him. There was so many times in the gym sparring. Yo, don't get down. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I had a guy headbutt me and in my chest. And yeah, so sparring is really, really, really fighting.
We didn't lose a lot. Yeah. Like, I wish I knew. We were in a different era. If I knew what I know now, because I was just learning, training him at that time. I was just, because I boxed when I was younger. But now when it came to the business part, I didn't know the business part. I'm just working with him and I'm listening to people. And sometimes people direct you the wrong way. So I'm directing him in a way where if I know what I know now, he would have been world champion. He's a three-time Golden Glove champion. He was ranked fourth in the country.
Yeah.
He's 25-3 as a pro. He was 18-0. Some of these kids, they have a loss before they got like 10 fights.
Yeah.
And they're making big money now. You know, if I knew what the way I can maneuver now, he would have been different. It would have been so different.
Yeah, but you know, I guess, you know, it plays out that way, but
so you were like the manager and the trainer and the father and everything?
Well, lot of my fights though. Yeah. He paid out a lot of my fights. But the thing too, my father was more or less he didn't give me no easy fights really. You know, even the guys who had semi good records, they were tough. And it's hard to find like really, really bad fighters at such a low weight class,
yeah,
because you know small guys they're just good. You know?
But they would also influence me. Like he would say, they would say, like he's fighting the guy Louis Bolaño. The guy had like 35 fights, like
38 wins, 3 losses.
Yeah, like 37 knockouts. He fought for a world title, and they're convincing me for him to fight him for like 5,000. So like the matchmaker for the promoter would go like, you know what? Oh, this guy beat him, so your son will beat him. And don't worry, yo, kid will beat him. And I'm like, but it's a rough fight for him.
Yeah, I was only 15.
No, he'll beat him. And then I'm saying, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, he'll beat him. You know what? So I would put him in there. Yeah. We beat him. But you win, it's still wear and tear. So now you go through like 4 or 5 rough fights, you're not the same, you know. And now guys are not fighting. No, they handpick the guys they want to fight. Now they'll see, this guy is 8-0, but he fought he fought his brother 7 times, you know.
Oh my God, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then he gets the wins, and now he's making money. You know, if I would have known like what I know now, I would have had a hard fight. 3 easy fights, maybe a hard fight, 3, and build his record up to where, you know, we can make money.
You know? But you know, in boxing you get a lot of like in our case we got a fought on Showtime, we really won, we lost, and then going back I was mentally not in it and we should have pulled out, but we didn't.
Which time was it?
Well, I was 18-0, and then next thing you know it, we fought on Showtime, Oklahoma, Miami, Oklahoma. We really won. Everyone had us winning. And next, you know, we get robbed. We like they gave it to the other guy.
It was our own promoter. We won 9 out of the 12 rounds. Yeah. If you want to give it 8-4, we clearly won that fight.
Every
and we lose, and it's our own promoter.
And
I'm like,
every top journalist, every top boxer, Harold Lenneman, God bless him, and Steve Farhart, every top guy had me winning.
And Nick Charles, remember Nick Charles?
Every top. Harold Letterman said, "Yo, you really won." Harold Letterman is one of the.
Yeah.
He's a historic scoreman card. You know, everyone.
Even the kid. After a while, came up to him and goes, "You know what? You really beat me."
And I don't like any guys that beat me. So I'm petty like that. And then, going on my second fight, I wasn't mentally in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have pulled out, but we didn't. And then my third fight, I was going through like some health problems, but we got convinced by De La Hoya to do it, and you know we lost again, and we weren't 100%. So what we know now, if I'm not 100%, I'm not fighting.
Pull out,
exactly. You know? Yeah.
But now people do it. They do it for mental health issues and this and that. But we come from an era that we didn't, you know, man up.
When we pulled out of this promoter, we needed another promoter. So Golden Boy gave us an offer.
We rushed it.
And if we beat this guy, because we box him in camp, and if we beat this guy, they'll sign us. So it was like if we don't beat him, they're not signing us. We beat him with signing. And like, he was sick. He couldn't make the weight. He was stuck on one. At that time, he had to make 122. He was stuck on 124. He couldn't. Oh my God. He was done. He was done.
I had bad stomach issues, and you look at me in the scale, I look depleted.
But he got sick going into. We were going into Chicago. He got sick.
And then even
I should have pulled him out.
Even with the fight with for Oklahoma for the 12th round for the championship. We got stuck in the airport for 3 days.
Oh my God! And
Al Haymon, the most famous guy in boxing, he is boxing. He said, "Don't take that fight. Don't take that fight." Yeah, and we didn't listen, and we took it, and we tried calling back. He didn't pick up the phone anymore. It's understandable.
Yeah.
And then going on the second Raw, my good friend Abner Maris was still mad about Al Haymon, and next thing you know, we're getting our fights, but. You know, and then next, you know, we got a faulty medical. Mm-hmm. That's why I retired. They said I had there was a doctor, Dr. Jordan. He was horrible, and he was giving everyone boxers false reports about health.
Yes. This is like official. Like
they fired him, and next you know we're going to
they did fire him.
Yeah, they fired him. So I won my last three or four fights, right? So next you know we're going three fights in a row.
Yeah.
So next you know we're going to fight. We're supposed to be fighting the Puerto Rican Olympian at Barclays, and the same week of the fight, they said that I think it was Monday, and then Tuesday I went. I worked out twice that day. I had to go to work, and then on Wednesday, the week of the fight, they said, call me up. He goes, Gary, you're not fighting. And I said, what? I said, hello? And he hung up. And then I called him back. He didn't pick up. Then he called back. And then he says, I'm not letting you fight. You have beginning stages of Parkinson's disease.
Oh, my God.
He said, your memory is faulty. He said, your reflexes are shot. He says that you speak with a slur. He says that... And he said, and I think that's what he said. And
but this was another doctor. So the other doctor.
No. So he said that. Dr. Jordan said that. So a neurologist.
Yeah.
That never ever heard me speak before. He never even he didn't check my MRI. He didn't check my CAT scan. Because I passed all that.
But he was the and official never, doctor for this event.
Yes, I never test my reflex. Yeah.
How can he make?
And next thing you know it. We're going back and forth, and that was my second fight that got canceled, and I was like, that's it.
And then when they put you on suspension, you can't. It's so hard to get off of it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then you're out like and then some I got, months.
Yeah, you have least. To take 1,000 tests. You have to go through.
And then
you
know. I got a second opinion from the top neurologist from Columbia Hospital.
Yeah.
And he said, there's nothing wrong with me.
And you know what? You get scared. You know, him. You get scared when you start hearing a doctor telling you, you know, you have this or and that and that. It affects you personally.
He
like,
tested
like,
me. He tested me and stuff like that. And you know,
I was worried. I'm like, wow, he tested me.
And that's why I started doing triathlons, and that's why I started
swimming. What is it? A triathlon.
Yeah, triathlon. Yeah. So I retired and I started just. Focusing on personal training a lot, that's how I got certifications. And then a friend of mine said, do triathlons, and I was on the team. And I never swam before, bike before, anything like that before. And my motivation was like, you said that my reflex was faulty. You said that I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that.
Oh, so gave that's you what, motivation.
Yeah, they gave me motivation to do it. And then my last triathlon before the pandemic, I finished first in my age group in the MyoPac triathlon.
Congratulations.
And then, thank you. And nice. Next you know it, I took a test that was so hard.
Yeah.
The USA triathlon coach, and I passed that. And that was tough. So all the stuff that he said, that my memory is faulty, my this and that, I was like, all right, I'm going to show you.
You proved him
and
wrong.
And I proved him wrong. And that's why I do what I do now.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoy it. And watch my father with all his great fighters, and it's just tough for me to help him out really a little bit, but because I feel with it because he taught me so well, and I have him, and I have a lot of great trainers that I had through the way of me boxing from me sitting down and talking to Nassim Richardson and
Barry Hunter,
all these great trainers, and they just. sometimes
you pick their brain,
you pick their brains, and just watching me shadowbox with Bernard Hopkins and Miami and and you know, I did it differently. So when he tells me something, like he showed me and stuff like that, but now I have a different way, because now I work with Roger Mayweather, I work with this person, work with this person, and I get to see a little bit of each person, not just him, because he got his own way.
Yeah.
But now I get a lot of great trainers, you know, so I dabble in it, right? So I got his great tutelage, and then I also have a, not Steen Richardson, I have a Floyd, Roger Mayweather, I have this guy. So it puts me in a little bit of a more of a, and I did it a little bit more than a lot of people. Well, like, you know, so I know how to teach it, you know. I have my own way, my father said, you know, but because he's not familiar, because he likes his way, you know. And that's what makes him a great trainer. That's his way.
But now we got just, all these tools and new stuff.
Now it's my way.
Yeah.
He's an aggressive boxer, and I like doing that, but I like a little bit more boxing.
Yeah.
A bit, you know what I'm saying? A little bit. But that just puts me in a different sense a little bit, because I know which way to move. I one thing about me from boxing, he can't, like, he used to tell me when we spar, yo, throw one, throw two, and I need to think. So I can't do what he tells me to do in that
way. But let me tell you something.
When but it's difficult because you're a father.
No, but
father
when you train people, when I train people, right, and it's working, and it's and you're winning, why change it?
Yeah.
So sometimes you get other trainers that don't know stuff. So that's my painting right there, right? And you take your brush and you paint in my painting. You stick in your brush in my painting. So it's not the same painting. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of trainers that they don't know a lot of stuff. I like the old school. I'm from old school. In our days, if you watch the 70s, 80s fighters, right? They're going 15 rounds.
I know.
These guys now, they're like they're 12 rounders. Yeah. They're on social media. They're champions when they didn't fight nobody. They're skimming through guys. You know, in our days, there were the three belts. There was like three belts. And then you had to work your way up through those belts, you know. And when I trained, we didn't have personal trainers like that. Like a trainer knew, a trainer was the personal trainer and was the boxing trainer.
Yeah, but he got to know that times are revolving. Different, you know what I'm saying? You know, like
but some of it is not for the best.
So mind you, so come back. Yo, don't film me. Don't do that. We saw are you? Because I love to be filmed and stuff like that. Doing pads. Yo, don't film me. But now he gets it. Now he gets it. It's all about, so like, do you have a Jake Paul and stuff like that?
Let's say I'm fighting you, right? I go on the website. I'm looking at everything you do. So, I don't want that for my fighters. I want you not to be able to see my fighters, you know, so you don't know what you're coming up against. If I look at you, I'm studying you. I'm like, wow, oh, she does this. Oh, she throws a left hand like this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
exactly. This is old school nowadays, but that stuff you're doing now,
making you money.
It's publicity. Yeah. So of course you again. But as a fighter wise, if I want him to be a champion, if I want him to do this, this is what I'm saying. It's like Amanda Serrano. She don't have a cell phone. She don't have this. That girl's one of the biggest female champions, you know.
And
was just
her.
The way she did it, you know. And I like the way she did it. If you look, the only time you could really see her is probably if you watch her fights.
She's big on social media.
Coming up, she wasn't.
The thing I believe like sort of like you know you never filmed sparring. Mm-hmm. That's it. You never filmed. That's the old school way.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because you never know. If a person did, you know, maybe the guy had a bad day. You never want to show up your sparring partner. I understand that. But everything else, social media, then that's what makes money. The Logan Paul, Jake Paul.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, they took the shortcut. You know, they are not even, they had no amateur career, nothing. Like, they went straight to the top. Just because they had so many followers and could sell fights.
And that's why they got money, and that's why we're broke.
And that's a big problem. And also a big other problem, we already talked a little bit about it, is like fighting, and you didn't win a fight who you should definitely have won. And that's a big problem. I mean, fans do not want to see someone winning a fight who wasn't actually the winner. I mean, That's just ridiculous.
Well, now they look at it, what this fighter could do for them.
Yeah.
So if I'm a promoter and I'm looking at you and I said, wow, this, I can make money with this fighter. So we got to keep them winning, you know?
Yeah.
They sell out the stadium. No, we got to keep them winning. So we'll give them someone easy or whatever. Then when they put them with someone hard and it's a close fight, they give it to you because you're that, you know, you're money. That money, you're the money, money guy. And that's how business, it's business. Yeah, it's not the sport no more. This is business, you know?
How can we get back to that? I mean, I want to see boxing like Muhammad Ali's time.
It's not, you know what? It's not going to get better because if you look at the, if you watch the amateurs now, even the amateurs, the people that are running like the Aiba and all that, it's not the same no more.
Damn. Corruption so, all over the place.
Yeah, they're so corrupt. They do what they want now.
I know.
You know what's funny? I was even saying, back in the days, right? We had the United States team. We did our own Olympic team. We would fight, and New York is hard. You could ask him to be an Olympian. It's so hard. You have to win the U.S. champion. So now they want us to compete against Central America and South America, and then we don't have our whole team. So it'll be like you have a guy from Puerto Rico, you have a Dominican guy, you have an American, another American, and you have. What happened to our whole American team? We have every weight classes. We have, and if you notice, some countries, if you go to Europe, they have their whole weight class.
Yeah, exactly.
England had their whole weight class. Yeah. Like, why are you doing this to us? Because they don't like America. They want to stab us in the back because they know our guys are good. Now, they came up with this rule, which is, I told, totally unfair. They said, if you're a coach, right, and you coach professionals, you can't coach amateurs.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, they
it's,
took
it's all, not even the now, same sport.
Now, let me tell you, at that time, you had professional basketball players in the Olympics. So what does the coach have to do with it? Now, if you go to Europe, right, or Russia, this, I don't know their coaches. You see our coaches on TV all the time. Mm. America, you're going to see, you know who Angelo Dundee is, or you know who this guy is, because we're all constantly on TV. Do I know a German coach? Do I know the Russian coach? I don't know them, because they're not... They don't have pro fighters. They don't have pro fights at that time. Everything was amateur. You understand?
Yeah.
So they kind of like stabbed us in the back. I'm like, why? Our whole Olympic team that won, I had Marcus Brown, our whole Olympic team, they got rid of all the coaches right before the Olympics.
Like, oh my God.
How can you do that? So he had to use an amateur coach that he never knew. We had Barry Hunt in camp. We had Mike Stafford, the best coaches coaching the Olympic team. All of a sudden, they came up with this, and our coaches were pissed. They were like, no, how are you getting rid of us? We're running this American team. They don't want us. They just didn't want us to win. They don't want us to do it. They stabbed us in the back. Like, why would they do that?
That's the reason why America's not so good anymore at boxing.
Nope. Yeah. But we're good in professional fights, so yeah, it's different, you know?
I just think it's an amateur style. A lot of top amateurs, they have like a pro style. Amateur style is a little different.
Mm.
So that's why you get a lot of these amateurs. They were great amateurs, but not really in that. But
yeah, the transition pros, is so difficult.
The pros, they're bad boys. You know, we have a little shushu, Bruce Cameron. He's a bad boy. I think he's one of my favorite fighters.
Yeah, but you got a lot of these guys now that are coming out of Europe. I have a lot of Ukrainian fighters, right?
Oh, yeah, they're so good.
And they have like 400 or 500 amateur fights. Yeah. They could fight five pro fights and be world champions. Yeah, that's
like
how
so
good
much
they are.
But that's why they come to New York, to find that special style that we have.
Because you know why? In their countries, there's no pro fighting. So most of their fights are amateurs.
Then they have amateur style. They do, you know what I'm saying?
But then
when they come out here.
Then they try to do an amateur pro. It was the World Series of Boxing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
With no headgear.
It was like you fight five rounds, and it's like pro. They're paying, their country's paying. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's still amateurs. So they could still fight in the Olympics. And these guys have like 400 or 500 amateur fights.
Oh my God.
To the United States, you got a guy like Lomachenko, like three fights, he's world champion. But he's good.
He had already the experience. Yeah.
So that's probably our guys. We have to earn it to get up these rankings, you know?
I was only thought like, okay, in America, everyone's going pro because you need money.
Money. Yeah, it's money.
It's all about money.
But in Europe and all those countries, it's that our amateurs, they don't pay our amateurs. They don't care about amateurs.
I know.
The other countries, they care. Europe, they care about their amateurs.
Not really. Yeah, a little bit, maybe. But
In Ukraine, they give them houses.
Not in Austria, though.
Huh?
Not in Austria. Austria, it's so tough to be. You can be like in the military and have time to go boxing, but that's it. Support is not so good in Austria.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Only for the best, like two or three
from
best.
Austria?
Yeah, exactly.
That's where my ancestors are.
Yeah, he told me.
Yeah.
German Jews from Austria.
That's why I like Stark.
Yeah.
It's a great name. It's really great.
Thank you.
Who did you, you said like Amanda Serrano, you were coaching Amanda Serrano. Who else did you coach?
I had Louis Collazo.
Yeah.
Let me see, Sergey Derevchenko, Kitrov. We had Ivan Galoo. We had Rich Comey. These were all world champions.
Train Ivan Baranchik, right?
Oh, Ivan Baranchik, the beast.
You have the Tasmanian that was his
Aftendil Christidis. If you watch that the thing, Mike Tyson, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever seen it.
That's me and him. Yeah, that's
it was me and him.
He's from Georgia.
He's from Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's so good. And then I have Marcus Brown. That was my kid, Olympian. He was world champion.
Is there something all of these guys, great guys, great boxers, is there something they have in common? Like all of them?
No, they all have different styles. They all have
different styles, different mentality, everything.
Yeah, you have to train them. You don't want to change their style because they're good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you just want to add on. You know, like they make mistakes. You know, you just want to correct it. You want to make them perfect, especially for boxing. You know, you want to make them really perfect. You get hit in boxing, you're gone. You know, I seen it with him and it scared me, you know.
What exactly?
We were fighting. He was fighting a kid. We went in every round and a knockdown.
And he got caught. Boom.
He made a mistake. He dropped his hand.
My first time I've ever been knocked out.
Yeah, but you said the first time you got knocked out was like baseball.
Yeah. That's one of them. But this time he wasn't knocked out.
He exaggerated.
No. But I knocked him out
when he gave me a bad report card.
Yeah. There's the abusive dad.
After that, I got straight A's.
Oh my God.
No, straight B's.
Straight C's.
Doesn't matter. It's a good grade.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, he was never straight A. Straight B, I could give him. Yeah.
Which athlete had straight A's? I mean, they don't have time for sitting down studying.
He used to help me with my homework and just yell at me. He's like, you don't do it like that. And I was like,
I have to cut it out.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, I keep telling him he's going to go in the room with rice.
How was having him as a father and as a coach?
I didn't think of it like that. At the end of the day, he's my best friend.
I'm gonna tell you a good story.
Don't be too long.
This is a good story. One day we're fighting, right? He's fighting this Mexican kid. The kid was maybe like, 7-3 or something like that, right? So we're getting ready to fight. Knucklehead here forgets his boots, right? So he didn't have his boots.
Damn.
All right. So now he had to look perfect, or his outfit was crazy, you know.
Like today.
Yo, Dad, I don't have my boots, this and that. I said, we'll borrow Curtis's boots. Curtis had some beat up ass boots, man. All of a sudden, it's like two fights before our fight.
Oh my God.
Okay, where's your son at? Let's go. We're getting ready. We have to wrap him up and all that. And then your kid, where is he? You believe this guy leaves Hammerstein Bournemouth, running down 7th Avenue to Foot Locker. To go buy a pair of boots.
No way.
In his boxing outfit.
And they are not even boxing.
I had some sweatpants on real quick.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, man. And I rolled, and I couldn't find a pair of boots. I couldn't buy a pair of boots. God.
This took like three rounds out of him from the fight.
I run back. I was like, yo, what? Yeah. And this is before like really had my cell phone on. So I was like, run there. Yeah, I ran all up. Freaking 34th Street.
Oh my God.
Every freaking store I'll come back.
We should have told Frankie that story.
Yeah, she would have loved it.
And then I come back and go, Joe, where the fuck you at? And I was like, yo, I couldn't find no boots. I love my boots. He goes, Joe, you should do it. And
who drove you back? Tell her who drove you back.
I forgot who
the drove cops, back. Remember?
No.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
You got to look. That's what I'm saying. You don't remember nothing, man.
Maybe Parkinson is.
And now no, the he police. Was, yeah, yeah.
Doctor nah, was right.
I'm going to hire Dr. Then, Jordan back.
And they, but I want to win the fight. You know?
Yeah, he won the fight, but he could have looked awesome. Better because that Mexican kid was tough. He kept coming.
He was tired from running to the store.
Juan Carlos Santiago. That Mexican dude did one now go down, boy. I hit him the hardest I got. He said, all he just did is laugh at me.
He said, you go to get boots while I'm fighting you? All right.
And then I hurt my hand.
You taking me lightly? All right. You want to get boots, huh?
Gary, are you actually addicted to shoes? Because when we walked here, we had to pass by a shoe shop and we went inside and looking at shoes.
We just window shop.
Yeah, we were window shopping.
Yeah, wait. So I picked her up. I picked her up because, you know, she don't have Wi-Fi. I'm a great guy. So I picked her up from my house. And
How'd you guys meet?
We just today.
You went to Gotham's?
No. I met her at her house. I met her at the place where she's staying at. Yeah. I said, come on, and drove, and we've been married ever since.
Yeah, I wrote him yesterday, like, hey, you have interest on time in a podcast interview. He was like, yeah,
and I said, why not? You're from
and it's a coincidence you had podcasts?
Yeah.
No, the kid Ruben I work with, he said, do you want to do her podcast? Mm. I was like, I'll do a podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then today, you know, she don't know how to go around. So I said, I'll pick you up, you know. So I picked her up. And we've been married ever since.
Yeah.
When do you go back?
The day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? How long you were here for?
Oh, almost 3 months. I did a whole U.S. trip.
Yeah.
It was your first time here?
It was my first time, yeah.
What'd you think?
I love it.
Yeah?
Damn, it's so crazy. It's fun, it's big, it's bright, it's inspiring, it's just great.
And you're seeing the worst New York right now.
Yeah.
All right. Right, Will?
All right. That's enough.
Yeah, I'm saying. New York was better, man.
All right, you start getting political. All right. All right. So.
Political, yeah.
No, please not. I already heard you're a Trump supporter.
No,
you don't have the mega head. You have like a normal.
No, he's not a Trump supporter like that. Because they
I don't like this president.
Yeah. All right, let's not talk about politics.
I'll pick him over.
All right, all right. But that's about it.
Did you actually got a hat because you're a fan of Sly Stallone?
Excuse me.
Are you a fan of Sylvester Stallone?
That's like from Rocky.
Different Rocky. Rocky Balboa had the same hat.
Hey, wait. Hey, yo, Tommy Gunn, you knocked him down. Why don't you try and knock me down now?
Damn, I would do a podcast interview only with you, tell everyone I interviewed Sly.
That was Sylvester Stallone right there.
He's so great.
Yeah, he was good, right? All his movies, right?
Yeah, I watched everyone.
Well, did I sound like him? There you go.
You hit me out, Sue.
Yo, Tommy Gunn.
Sue me for what?
But you guys are so, you look so great. I mean, we have cameras here, but normally I don't do the podcast with cameras. But here, for the listeners who don't see the cameras, you guys are like, you are sitting here in a suit. You are sitting here like with a nice hat and looking great.
Oh, thank you.
Here in my sports clothes. I mean, well, I look underdressed.
Oh, no, last you, you should have seen me last podcast. He got mad at me. He said he was goofing on me. He said my sweater looked like
Big Bird.
No way.
Yeah, like Big Bird. He was calling me Big Bird. He's ragging me, my own son.
You know why I always dress you never get a second chance making a first impression.
Oh, damn it. I'm so sorry that I made such an impression.
No, beautiful. And then when I would never forget this. I tell my kids.
Yeah.
Tell my daughter. I said, you always got to dress right. You always got to look good when you go to school. Because one day, my mother and my father was divorced. And my father came all the way from Brooklyn to Staten Island to pick me up. And I couldn't wait for my father to pick me up. And on every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I stayed with my father. So he beeped the horn, he got out, and I dressed like a bum.
Oh, shit.
So my father looked at me, goes, yo, you're not coming to me looking like that. You look like a bum. I'm like, no. He goes, no, you're not looking at me like that. Next thing you know it, he left, he went back, he goes, I'll see you next week. And that was the last time I looked like a bum.
I got to tell you a good story.
All right,
I used to give him nice haircuts all day, right? So he's hanging around with his boys on the block. He comes home with a dude rag on.
Oh.
I'm like, he wanted to be like the boys. That's like Eminem wearing a do-rag, right?
Yeah.
So he comes in, I said, take that off your head. I said, I pay nice haircuts for you all the time, nice groomed. His nails, everything had to be nice. I said, I pay for those haircuts. You're going to wear a durag. Take that off. Don't you ever wear that. Am I right?
Yeah, it was right. But he
didn't imagine it.
But it was more or less, yo.
No.
He said, people in jail
wear. Great father.
No. I said, he goes, right. people in jails
wear. That's what correction officer.
I said. So he goes, I never put on durag on.
No. Nope.
He goes, yo, people in jail, yo, you ain't no jail, yo. And that was the last time I did.
Even the kids in the gym, they can't wear their pants hanging off their butt.
Yeah, but that's what he's telling me. And that's why I tell my kids, come with me dressing like a bum.
And especially work athlete. How to say work?
Work ethic.
Man, let's talk about it. You told me like you are getting up at 3 a.m. or 3:30.
I wake up every morning 3:30 in the morning.
Every morning. I mean, now it's like past 8, somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m.
Yeah, but I don't
that child support's a killer.
Yeah, but where did you get?
I don't
that child support will do that to you.
My father used to wake me up, you know, going when I was boxing. When I first started boxing, I was playing college baseball too.
Yeah.
My father used to wake me up early, 4 o'clock in the morning, go running. Then
4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning, go running, and then I would get home, get changed, and go to college. 2 buses, 2 trains. I would do my schoolwork. I either had baseball practice or a baseball game. I would take 2 buses, 2 trains back home, and then wait for him to get home and go boxing.
Oh, I would pick him up sometimes, too.
3 trainings per day.
Yeah, and then boxing. And no, it wasn't, because you didn't pick me up like that. Because you
I used to wait in front of that restaurant. No. We used to come out of Kingsborough on the side there.
Time out. That was when I wasn't boxing at that time.
No, you were playing baseball.
But I was at the Elk Rip. That was when I'm talking about when I used to fight in the Gold Gloves. So I lost my first year in the Gold Gloves. So tired.
Yeah,
you told me. And I used to take 2 buses and just to wait because you used to get out of work. You'd be home at like 6.
Yeah.
So as soon as I come home, you used to wait for him to come home. And I used to be dead tired. And we used to go to the gym at like 6:37. And I used to be so tired. And I'd come home sometime, would fall asleep with my boxing stuff on me. He used, yo, go take a shower. I used to be so dead tired. So, yeah. And,
Made you drink like raw eggs?
Yes, he made me do that shit too.
That's so disgusting.
Gee, you didn't make me do raw eggs? Dad, you didn't make me raw eggs? Be sweat. Seriously, Dad, you didn't make me do raw eggs?
Hey, Adrian.
No, come on. Come on.
This is so Rocky style.
You see a lot of hours with this guy. But you didn't make me do raw eggs?
Never.
Gee.
All right, maybe once or twice, kid. Come on. You weren't on no raw egg diet.
You got still PTSD from
him. He wasn't on a raw egg diet.
Maybe do raw eggs. I
used to do when I was boxing, when he was. Because, you know, salmonella started coming up.
No, but you made me do it, dude.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Hey, no, I didn't. Hey, don't be a Freddo. Don't be a Freddo.
So you won 3 golden gloves. I mean, and then you started professional boxing.
Yeah, so I won 3 Golden Gloves and I'm going nationally and I won the 3 Golden Gloves. He never won the Golden Gloves, my father, but I gave him all my 3 Golden Gloves and I gave him all to him.
Yeah, I have him in my house.
So I gave him all my Golden Gloves, I gave him my New York State title, everything I won in boxing, I gave it to him because...
Thank God I did.
He deserved it more than me sometimes, and he deserved it because he made me the man that I am today.
Yeah, you were living his dream a little bit?
But what happened was when I fought the Golden Gloves, I won my first 2 open fights. I'm going to the quarterfinals, and I have the medal in my house. And I was in the academy correction. They called me for correction officer.
Oh, wow.
So I started the academy March 5th. March 6th, I had a fight in the Golden Gloves.
Oh, my God.
So I'm in the academy, and I'm telling the Cap. I said, Cap, man, got to give me the day off. I'm fighting tonight in the Golden Gloves. He goes, no, we can't do that. I said, come on, Cap. I said, give me that. I'll be here tomorrow. He goes, no, because if you get hurt, you're not going to be here. I'm pleading with him. I said, Cap, I won like 8 out of 9 fights. I won 8 out of 9 in a row. I had a good shot of winning the Golden Gloves. He turned me down completely.
You couldn't go to the tournament.
That was it. We were marching around Rikers Island.
Oh, my God.
Remember what we used to do? We used to march around Rikers Island, sing caters, all that. And then I had to fight, go to the garden. This is all the way in Queens. You know, I couldn't do it. That was the end of it.
That's awful.
And then he was always boxing when I was a little, when he was a little kid, you know, so he was always around boxing.
Mm. Gary, what did you study? You said you went to college.
I studied Nazi and Holocaust. I studied that.
He started.
Was it like history? Like
yeah. Space. That's what he took. Space. He majored in space.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
If it wasn't for baseball, he probably wouldn't have went, you know.
And you know what's funny? This is a guy that tells me that I'm making fun of him and stuff.
No.
No, you roasted me. And yo, it's payback. Right. Payback so time.
I studied taking up space in school.
Yeah.
You can't even remember what he took. He took, what'd you take? Academic courses? What'd you take?
I took nothing.
Baseball. Baseball 101.
Baseball 101. I would have loved it.
He wanted to play baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. Took
okay, some history stuff.
Hairdressing.
Oh yeah, you sure? You should do my hair.
I think that's how close I did. I was like a history. I was like a history buff.
Yeah. Okay. What was the most important thing you learned from boxing?
Most important thing I learned from boxing was never give up.
Yeah.
Never give up.
Yeah, but that actually you learned from your father.
Yeah, but it instilled in boxing that I never gave up. You know, it's like from you have to kill me to beat me. Maybe that was a bad thing I did because I didn't get paid no money about it, but that was me. I don't like losing. That's one thing I don't like losing. So I don't like losing in boxing. I don't like losing when I play basketball and stickball and whatever. I just don't like losing. So
it's discipline. Even in life, you want the best at what you go for.
I like you know, being number one.
You can't just settle.
I don't like losing. There's no second place trophy. You know, it's either your first or your last. That's it.
That's crazy. When Frank was here, he was talking like about baseball, and when he ended his professional career, he said like, "Okay, I didn't watch baseball the next 2 years because he just couldn't watch it." How is it for you? After you finished your active career,
I never liked boxing. I never so watched crazy. It. And he could so tell crazy. You, I never watched it.
Yeah,
no way.
Shied away.
People used to invite me to the fights. I never wanted to go. Just recently, I have a friend that wants, but I don't like going to fights.
That's what I'm saying. I would watch boxing all the time.
I watch boxing now. But when I used to fight like a lefty, I used to watch Floyd fight a lefty. When I watch, I just watch Floyd Mayweather fights. That's what I did.
So he was your favorite fighter?
Yeah, all time. And then, of course, I watched my friends because they fought a lot on TV. But that's about it. I hate boxing.
And it's funny. I had in them days, we had the box outside the window. Remember? The satellite. And I used to watch HBO. I used to watch all the fights. I said, kid, come here. Well, come watch this fight with me, man. No, I don't want to watch boxing. I said, come on, man. Watch it. No, I don't want to watch boxing. He didn't want to watch it.
People
just
don't believe me that I don't watch it. You know, now I watch it a little bit because it just showed people what, but I don't like it.
What would you have chosen as a career if you could have?
Oh, if I was smart enough, I'd be a nice freaking financial guy, nice hedge fund guy. That's
nice comedian.
Now, why I do comedian now, but
the suit fits. I mean, it almost looks like it.
Listen, I am a classy gentleman. I'm a gentleman, but not a scholar. But that's me.
Yeah. What are you doing now, right now?
Right now, I'm just working as a personal trainer. I do comedy and stand-up.
At the Gulf Handbox and Gym also.
Yep, and I do comedy when my spare time. And I do this podcast, just like you. And I just hustle. And, you know, and my good friend Henry said, if I don't create, they won't. And so I'm always creative. I'm always my goal, my passion. Maybe one day open my own gym. You know what I'm saying? I want
to
be
almost the goal of every fighter.
But he does mostly personal training. He like helps a lot of people. I'm more like I.
If you're not boxing, he don't want to fuck. He don't want to mess with you. He wants real boxers.
Yeah, like right now.
And that's the way he is. Because you know we get.
If you don't fight, I don't really get the kids
off the street. He helps out with the nonprofit. Yeah. Get the kids off the street. He wants real fighters. He wants real fighters. Me, I love making a person bad health, good health. I love boxing is a specialty. I critique it more than any other boxing trainer at any facility I am, Gotham or whatever, because I know what you have to do. I know what to take. Because I did it better and more than any of these guys ever did, and I know how to teach it. So I critique it. Not to mention, I got more educational prowess on how your body needs to move, biomechanics, and how proprioception. I know all that when it comes down to your body. So of course I critique it a lot more, but that's why I love training, like showing people a specialty. I love showing people how to better health, and that's the way I love doing it. He does it,
but you know, get the
kids, but because these kids ain't gonna be these kids. Getting these kids off the street is the most important. But as you see, you're gonna get a kid from the hood, the ghetto, to become a professional fighter. You're not gonna get a person at Gotham. You're not gonna get a person at a nice. Rich gym. No, you're not gonna get that because
they
different.
already have
the money. They already bust their ass in college to be where they're at. These kids don't maybe not give a go to college. Maybe not. You know, so boxing is the end, and they're out. You know what I'm saying? It's either boxing or nothing.
I got to show what I do in the ring. You understand? Like I train these kids. I want to see what I did for these kids boxing wise. Like, you know, I want to see them perform.
But boxing, I don't,
if you're personal, there's nothing there.
That's just
physical health. So it's two types.
But
see, if I do it as a business, I'm just saying, I can make a lot of money doing it as a business.
Because he got his way of training. He don't know how to speak to that person.
Okay. It's not true.
Because you can't nail this person.
I'm not you.
All right. You could do
totally
all right.
Different
all right.
Than you.
All right.
I watch you train people.
All right.
It's not the same.
All right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not putting you down.
I train fighters to win.
Listen, this way. I'm not putting you down.
Don't say how I talk.
No. I'm not saying that.
Like if I'm training you, I will not talk to you as I do my fighters.
I'm not a professional.
No, but like if I'm hard on my kids, if you're a white collar fighter, I'm not gonna. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying that.
I see you yell at Olga.
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying? Don't be a Fredo.
For everyone who's listening right now, this is normal. This is normal. I saw the podcast.
Nah, this is normal.
Those two are always fighting.
Always through life.
Oh my God! But the thing is. You gotta know how to. I'm not every person wants to be a boxer.
I don't want to be a boxer.
But
you know, the guys I learned most from was like active professional fighters. If they show you something, they are so good at explaining stuff, showing something. Everything they do, you see it and you learn. You learn so fast.
I can just picture this guy yelling at somebody doing his wrong squat. You don't know.
I won't do that with a. I won't do that with a white collar person. No, because it don't drive me.
Exactly.
I go do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Do some sit-ups.
It's not you, nice. Okay. G. It's not you.
But my guy, you're doing it wrong. No.
See, we argue a lot. We argue about. This is why I tell you what we argue about.
Yeah.
We're agreeing on the same thing, but different terminology. I just said that he's not a personal trainer per se. He's a boxing trainer.
Yeah.
He wants to that's him.
And that's
what everyone loves about him because that's the way he is. He's not a personal trainer. He's not. You know what I'm saying? I did it for.
He's like Rocky.
And now mind you, I don't yell. It's like I don't lie to my clients. I don't. I'm like, you're doing that wrong.
But you know what? Your style of, teaching and everything, it reminds me so much of the Floyd Mayweather boxing gym all around America. I mean, they are like fitness boxing and all into this. You should look it up. They are exactly what you all want to be.
You know what?
That's
really
cool.
We're ourselves.
No, but he does.
You're ourselves.
He's in Gotham.
I'm a fucking great trainer. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. To my friends.
Yeah, I mean, Ruben told me you're a very good trainer.
But not me, though.
I'm not him.
Otherwise, I would not have invited you for the podcast. I wouldn't be a good trainer.
I just thought you'd find me because I'm good looking. I got a nice suit on, but I guess not.
Oh, I didn't know swag, that before. Right?
Get it from your father.
Get it from my father.
What are you guys like doing in your free time if it's not boxing? Are you guys?
He plays pickleball.
He's pickleball.
Oh, I've been playing pickleball.
Like. He's ranked the number one pickleball player in Monroe, New Jersey.
No, my hip ain't feeling it.
With hat or without hat?
You ever play pickleball?
Yeah, we have it.
Ain't it good?
I'm super bad. I'm super bad.
No, but that's but it's fun though, right?
It's fun.
He's ranked
you got a good paddle?
No, not really.
You got to get a good paddle.
He's ranked number one from all 75-year-old people in America.
So, because there are only like two people playing?
No.
There's some old guys.
No, he's wrong because 75 people, they could play. They're good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not up there.
He's ranked, 75 and plus, he's ranked number one.
So I played with him. Horrible. Oh, my God.
He's even yelling at me. People, like, come on.
His daughter's better. His daughter, a lot better.
So everything is competition in your family?
Yeah, he always kind wants of. To kind of. See me. Yeah, it's a lot.
Man, your family. Yeah, my crazy family. So fun. I think we have everything. Do you guys want to add anything about boxing right now?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I had a kid fight last night, Cesar Francis. So I just got him because he had other trainers. So he came to me. They asked me to help him. So I helped him out. He won the second round knock TKO yesterday. So it was
nice. Good. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. He's 12, 13 and 2 now.
Nice. Next time I'm going to interview him.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. Gary, your last words. Like, do you have some tips for up and coming fighters?
Yes, don't box.
Okay, it's a good tip.
Don't box. Do good in school. I'm not sure how Austria is, but
it's exactly this mentality.
All right, don't everyone in Austria, hopefully you understand what the fuck I'm talking about. Or
how's boxing over there?
Oh, it's awful.
All right. Yeah, so people in Austria.
Forget it.
From people in Austria, yeah.
Do not box.
Because it gives you PTSD stuff.
No. It's a hard sport. Don't you ever say that. Let me just say something. Boxing.
You train Olga, so don't ever say that.
Boxing is. I love Olga. Olga's good.
Yeah,
Olga gets nervous.
If I had Olga, she would have won that night.
I even know Olga because you talked about it.
He brought it to me two times. If I would have had her, she would have won.
Let me just say so. You have her. But let me just tell you.
No, if I would have had her.
Olga's going to be listening to this. So, Olga. It's so good, but she gets nervous. See, a lot of it, mental.
It's the trainer, honestly.
All right, that's it. See,
it's the trainer. If I worked with Olga, she would have won that night. All
right. Yeah.
All right, Sublana.
She can't get through to her. That's
all right. So, after this guy, boxing is a game of inches. It's a game of inches. You make that wrong inch, it could cost you your fight. It could cost you a lot, you know what I'm saying?
But if that inch do it right, then it could benefit
And
you.
Let me just say something. In game of inches, so don't make that inch and don't box.
Get a job.
No, but if you...
he loves boxing.
Listen, boxing is a hard sport and you gotta really give it 100. You can't have a job.
You gotta give it 110%.
You can't work in box. You just gotta give... Focus all your attention. Have a good trainer because you're only as good as your trainer.
And do your history on your trainers because a lot of these guys are not trainers.
No one's trained.
Everybody's out to make money.
Yes, just because you got the freaking... Just because you have one amateur fight or two pro fights or three pro... They don't make you a trainer.
Horrible.
So, but with that being said, and thank you. And you know what you have to do now?
Go home and take a... I don't know, sleep.
No, you got to get dressed. We're going out. I'm taking Sublana out in the town, New York City, baby.
I'm not sure if I can go anywhere with my chugging.
Get dressed. All right.
Just be careful in New York.
Peace.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Okay. This was podcast episode 130. Thank you so much. This was podcast episode 140 with Gary Stark Jr. and Gary Stark Sr. live from Manhattan, New York. On Wednesday you can watch our full interview also on the Unschlagbar Ehrlich YouTube channel. I wish you a great start into this new year. May all your dreams come true. Lots of fun and motivation, health and love. Thanks for listening. Until the end, stay safe and unschlagbar ehrlich.